soy Dakota Mamola y estáis viendo MotoGP OD.
The lights are on red. We're away.
POD, the internet radio show about motorcycle road racing. Today is Friday, January 8th, 2010. So happy new year, everyone. This is Jules Cisek, and I'm here with Jim McLean Race.
It's McLean.
McLean, sorry, McLean.
No, McLean.
McLean?
McLean.
McLean, got it. Jim McLean Race.
James McLean right. Race, technically.
Okay.
Happy new year to you.
And we're back. How you been?
I've been all right. There was a long holiday. Didn't do a whole lot, which was kind of nice. It was relatively quiet. And definitely ready to get the show back underway. And seems like we've got a decent amount of news that's coming down the pike. And there's a lot of things getting solidified.
Yeah. Yeah. And we got a cool show for you guys today. We have Dakota Mamola, Randy Mamola's son, who actually I had lunch with and did an interview with him. And we're going to announce the winners of our calendar contest, talk about the crazy people down in South America riding around in the desert in 122 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know. What's that in Celsius? Like,
it's hot. 50, it's like 50, 40, 40 50 something? Plus. Yeah, it's Jesus. It's hot.
Yeah. So, and we'll just chat.
Sounds great.
So let's start with some listener email.
Cool.
David Emmett of Moto Matters asked us to just forward the message on to you, everybody here that, if you're having trouble reaching his site, he's quite aware of it. They're still working out some problems. It should be all fixed by next week. Basically, just hosting issues, DNS provider issues. All that should get fixed up next week. And speaking of David Emmett, he also wrote, this is actually a while ago, he wrote this email. And we were talking about, I think we were probably talking about the 2010 calendar in this thread.
Sure.
And so I asked him, like, hey, you know what? I've always wanted to know, why is it that Assen holds their race on Saturday? It's like some kind of a traditional thing. And this is what he wrote. Assen is about religion. The villages south of the city of Assen are part of the Holland's Bible Belt, which stretches from just east of Utrecht all the way up to Assen. And the people there are deeply Protestant. No activities of any kind other than going to church and going for a stroll on your Sunday best were allowed on Sunday. And so staging a race on a Sunday was completely out of the question back in 1926 when the Dutch TT started. And since then, it's become a tradition. Yeah. And then he goes on and talks that that part of Holland is still very religious. And that even like, nightclubs and discos would close at midnight on Saturday, which kind of sounds like Massachusetts. And so that's it. I did not know that.
If you remember some of the early scenes in the Road Racers, that 70s Irish documentary about that we talked about in the movie section not so long back, you remember how they never ran on Sunday either, and clearly because Ireland has a deep religious undertones to it. And
right.
But, yeah, you couldn't go out on the roads then. That was about the only time.
So I would have totally thought that if it wasn't for the fact that World Superbikes race on Sunday, but they obviously started a lot later. By that time, I mean, the tradition with the TT round was established long, long ago.
It's the longest lasting race.
Yeah, yeah.
Which actually.
Yes. Well, before we get to that, that was awesome. I was almost the perfect segue, but I wanted to get one more listener in the email, which was from Lauren Soma.
Okay.
And this is, we're still talking about movies, but because people were still writing in about this. So Lawrence wrote in and he just missed the last show of last year. So I figured I'd stick it into the show, and he was writing about The Great Escape. And he wrote that during the climactic motorcycle chase in The Great Escape, John Sturges allowed Steve McQueen to ride in disguise as one of the pursuing German soldiers, so that in the final sequence, through the magic of editing, he's actually chasing himself. That's so cool.
That's way cool.
And he also, Lawrence also sent a link to Google Video where Little Foss and Big Halsey, one of the movies that a lot of people wrote in about, is available so you can watch it for free. So we'll put that in the show notes.
Excellent. Yeah, I actually went out of my way. Thank you very much to listeners over the holidays to try and get some of this stuff to enjoy and keep me busy during the quiet times. So it was great for all the feedback you guys gave us. And it, just a neat reminder. I mean, I saw an awful lot of people that got excited about it. You know, when we first did it, I don't think we really thought. I think you and I were kind of like, it's going to be kind of a filler episode. But man,
I know.
Awful lot of interest.
I know. I mean, even in the show notes, I think I put that. This is okay. It's not a very good show, but just take a listen. Anyway.
So, yeah.
But you know what? I have to say that the most interesting thing that, I mean, I am so stoked. The thing that really had me going over this break was reading Mark Gardner's book. Writing Man.
Yep.
That is a fucking amazing book.
Yep. It is.
I really, really recommend you guys go out to writingman.com and just get a copy, because I've not had so much fun reading a book, in any book, of, you know, fiction, nonfiction, whatever. The guy is just so funny, cool, and interesting, and I love it. I finished it. I just started reading the Jorge Lorenzo book, the comparison is kind of tough,
that's probably
difficult.
Different.
Yeah, it's very, very different.
Well, it's hard reading a biography when the person is still in the midst of their career. I always think that's kind of.
Yeah, but you know what? I was putting off. I didn't want to read this book because I was just like, what the hell? It's like, but I get it now. I'm already getting why he wrote the book. So. And I'll do a review of it later on. But right now, Mark Gardner, Writing Man, unbelievable stuff. So thank you very much, Mark, for coming out on your tour, because I probably would not have heard about it.
Hey, and Jules, thank you so much for my Christmas gifts. Those were awesome. Jules got me a signed copies of both Mark Gardner's book and the book by Ed Milich, who both those guys were at the ACE and did readings from him. So, dude. Merry Christmas or happy holidays.
Right. Cool. Yeah. Ed's stuff is also really, really fun to read. So I didn't mean to forget about that book. I bounced around the pages in that book with a big grin on my face.
And lately with the kind of meh weather that we've been having, it's nice to have some additional reading material.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Although actually, it hasn't been too bad here. I think you guys got the worst of it, because I've actually been able to ride the bike a few times.
Yeah, I saw there was sundown. Alice, kind of getting jealous.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. And not like the folks in the UK who are getting totally screwed over. They've been
right.
all of our UK friends, we're very sorry, but maybe we can do a long show for you, so you have something to do while you sit at home and wish you could actually get to the store or the pub. on to the rest of the show.
All right. Why don't we save the calendar winners to the after the interview?
I think that's a great idea.
So keep the tension kind of going.
Let's talk about something dirty.
Let's talk about the car.
Yeah.
All right.
So we never, or hardly ever, talk about any type of rallies here on MotoGPOD. And I don't know why, but this year just seems kind of special. It's the second year that they're down in South America. And the first question on everybody's mind is, why do they still call it Dakar? Right?
Well, it's a brand.
It is. You know? It literally is a brand. Yeah. And it's got name recognition, and frankly, it's still a fantastic race. And I've been watching it on and off. It's on TV here in the States, in very, very nicely filmed with Toby Moody as well. Thank you. Hi, Toby. And then catching other episodes at various other places. And you can watch it online, too, and I think we'll include a link to that. Mm-hmm. It's been fun. Mark Coma, who, you know, everybody's kind of expecting to do really well, is having a tough time this year.
Yeah.
So,
and there's a lot of interesting stuff just technically in some changes, because now the smaller bikes are getting better runs.
The big change on the bike front is the 450 rule, and then the restricted larger bikes, which was kind of been a bit of a nightmare. And everybody thought that they were going to have some, you know, great reliability issues. And it hasn't seemed like that's been a problem with the larger engine machines. But, I don't know. We'll have to see. You know, the 450 kind of makes sense because it's pretty much where all the manufacturers and the dual sports and the motocross things are going these days. But we'll see. I haven't even caught up to day five yet. I'm lagging behind.
Yeah, me too. Unfortunately, I had a pretty busy week at work coming back from after the break. And but where are you watching it? Because I'm watching basically the highlights and verses. That's the only thing that I've been able to catch on cable.
Well, you can catch it from the Dakar site. We'll include.
Oh yeah. No, I know on the computer you can do it. You said that you were watching it somewhere on TV.
Oh no, other sources.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, because I was like, oh, maybe I'm missing. I know that Toby does the little highlight for verses, and those are great. But you know, I like to kind of be able to veg out for 4 or 5 hours watching.
I've cut Eurosport stuff through various other channels, and it's pretty good.
Okay, cool.
It's Carlton Kirby though, and you know, some people just don't like him. I think he's okay, but I haven't heard him in a long time, and I was like, still, I mean, it's nice to see a different perspective.
And I obviously watch the bikes. The cars don't interest me too much, even though there's some amazing technology in there. And it's kind of strange because some major competitors have dropped out. Mitsubishi dropped out.
Just a whole bunch of people, and in fact, there's been,
but a bunch of people came in,
right?
Also,
right,
that we haven't expected. So
yeah, VW, a real strong presence this year. You know, frankly, the cars to me are interesting, but mostly from a technology standpoint.
Exactly. But the trucks. I love the trucks. I mean, it was always the most like insane part of the car to me.
Yeah.
And I think they've always been kind of dominated by the Russians, right?
They have to some degree, and you know, maybe that's because
which is so fitting, you know, because that's
those are
just like
crap and yeah.
because there's parts of Russia where nobody really lives, but the guys have to truck crap across like the most insane terrain. So it totally makes sense that they would have the equipment and B, have the drivers that actually can drive these giant. I mean, these things are like what, like 4 or 5 tons or something like that.
Yeah, they're huge. They're huge. Well, yeah. If you think about it, though, I mean, they're like they're trucks in one sense, but they're kind of like race vehicles in another because they're literally aluminum shells, you know, that carry a whole bunch of the support equipment. But I mean, these things are like not like your average road going truck. I mean,
no.
Yeah,
no.
They're damn serious. I mean, you know, you see them jumping on a regular occasion, you know, soaking up these bumps, and you're like, yeah, that's not the semi I see cruising down I-5.
No. I always think actually of like a vehicle on the moon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, literally slow motion. I mean,
yeah.
It is just like that. And, you know, it's kind of sad because the people that probably get the most forgotten in the entire rally are the quad guys. And I mean, you know, what they're doing too is pretty insane. It's interesting that they had sections of the course this year that they stuck the bikes and quads on and ran the cars and the trucks on others because they weren't passable.
Yeah.
Like I said, I still need to catch up. So, and I may be way behind and you probably are too. And people are going, well, why don't they know about this?
Well, we don't have any, we're not going to talk about any news or spoilers or
sure.
anything like that, but,
it's fun.
It is going on and it's, you know, it's such an incredibly amazing event.
And it will give you your fix.
Right. Exactly. You've got, nine more days.
Yep. So, if you've been hiding in a cave and, you know, rewatching, Valencia over and over again, which will probably put you back to sleep again, see if you can pick up on some Dakar coverage.
Yep.
Cool.
All right. So, Toby Moody he made this this top 10 list of his top 10 writers of the decade. So we figured we'd kind of poll you guys, the listeners, and get the MotoGP OD version of that with your feedback. And so, you know, just figured in this decade, we've went from two strokes to four strokes. And we actually had three different formulas. And we saw the rise of Valentino Rossi. We saw the comeback of Ducati. So all that stuff seems far a long time ago. I'm sure a lot of listeners only started, you know, watching, following the sport recently. Some have been watching for 50 years, you know. So what we'd like to do is get you guys to write in the top 10 riders of the entire decade. Keep in mind that includes, Jesus, help me out, Jim. Help me out.
2000 through 2009.
Right.
Pick the trick with this one is, because I kind of went through this exercise a couple of times myself, is you tend to remember recent history most, you know, most strongly. But there was an awful lot that went on in the early years of the former decade. So make sure you take that into account. And I think you'll be surprised not only with the names you come up with, but having some great memories dredged from that time.
That's exactly why I wanted to do it. Because when I went through this, after Toby Booty posted his kind of like challenge to meet his, to see who was closer to his list, before he posted the list to the website,
mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened to me. I was like, oh, yeah, man. I remember like when we used to race at Suzuka. And, you know, I remember when it was a great Italian battle in Mugello in 2000 on the two strokes. And, man, just brought up some fantastic old memories. And what we'll do is rather than like assigning points, like you don't need to order them. Just give us 10 riders. And we're just going to basically tally up how many times they show up.
Sure.
You know,
you're getting pretty good at your little spreadsheet stuff here, dude.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Definitely send them in. Send the email to decade@motogpod.com.
Cool.
And we'll crank that out for you guys. The more input, the better. I shouldn't say that.
No.
Yeah, I know. I'm kidding.
I cut and paste this into a little script and boom.
All right. you and your Python, I'm going to make you do it in Lisp next time. Do we want to run the Dakota interview now, or should we talk about news?
Let's do Dakota, okay. And then we'll come back in with news and then the winners.
Rock and roll, fired up.
So this is Jules Cisek. I'm here with Dakota Mamola, who's visiting his aunt and friends and stuff in the States. When did you guys arrive?
We arrived here the, I think, 19th, around the 18th, 19th of December. School finished around the 22nd, but we wanted to arrive here before so we can prepare Christmas and, you know, spend. So we go back this Saturday, the 9th, because we start school on the 10th already. So.
Okay. So you spend both Christmas and New Year's here. Cool.
Yeah, I spend and summer. Sometimes I go to Laguna.
Right. We met you over at MDK over the summer.
Yeah, MDK, yeah. Yep. So I normally come two times a year, in the summer and winter. My parents, my sister and my mom normally come in the winter always.
Mm-hmm.
And summer depends if they do something else or anything.
Do you take vacations like anywhere else in the world?
Yeah. My mom, normally every year, there's this break in around April, which is 2 weeks.
Like a spring break.
Yeah, and she always takes us somewhere. She, like, I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, we went to Bali, we went to Costa Rica last year.
Cool.
Bali 2 years ago, and Mexico, all nice. Different places.
Every nice. Year. So you get to see a little bit more of the world.
Mm.
Excellent. Because you actually mostly race in the Spanish stuff, so you kind of stick
year,
in Spain, right?
This year I did about 7 races.
Yeah.
In Mediterranean and in Catalan Championship, 2 championships.
Right.
With a pre-GP 125.
Yep.
With Team Monlau, which is sponsored by Escalestric, mm-hmm. You know, the game with the cars when they go around the...
Yes.
The right. team, you know, in the World Championship, there's a 125 rider named Mark Marquez.
Yes.
He's in a KTM.
Yeah.
It's the same team.
Oh, okay.
But we don't race with KTM. We race with Metrofit.
Oh, okay.
Same team.
Right.
Same boss.
Really?
Emilio Zamora.
Okay.
So, yeah.
He had a tough year this year. He had, like,
Mark.
Good results and then a lot of fall-offs.
Yeah, Mark crashed, but it was all because of the bike. KTMs.
Oh, really?
KTMs are not like Aprilias. They always... Most of the times it's because engine failure, it seized.
Ugh, yeah, that's the worst.
In the rain, it's because, you know, you gotta be good in the rain, and the object is not to fall off. But he's had a lot of high sides.
Yeah. Well, he also runs into a lot of big guys who are kind of, I think, muscling him around.
Yeah, but he's small.
Because he's really tiny.
But
yeah.
He's really built. But now, because now they moved to Aprilia. They don't have no more KTM.
Oh, wow.
They quit making them.
That's right. You're right.
No, in Aprilia. And when he tested, he was a half a second from Riley Smith. You know Riley Smith?
Yeah, of course.
My dad manages him from Aspar. He was only a half a second from him. So
fantastic.
He's fast.
Cool.
So.
All right. I'm going to do some kind of lame standard questions, but I do really want to know the answers. Like, for example, when did you first start writing, and when did you first start thinking that you actually wanted to do this?
Like, at 3 years
yeah?
old, I did motocross.
No way.
Yeah, a little Pee-wee 50. Little one, like, really
yeah,
small
yeah.
Yamaha. We
yeah.
still have it in my house. Then at 10, my dad said, why don't you try the road racing bike?
So from 3 until 10, you were off-road?
And now.
Yeah,
motocross.
Okay.
All my life, since 3. And then at 10 years old, my dad asked me if I wanted to try the road racing one, GP.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah. And it was a 70. 70 Metricid, I think it was, yeah.
Right. Was it a little,
run by Bancaja. It's a little championship where everybody can come in, you pay, and then they do the championship.
Right.
So once I tried it, I loved it. And then did it. So now I do both. Competition-wise, 10, 11, 12. When I was 13, 14 is when I started being okay.
And that's, but you were, so you were already at that point in the championship in Spain, the Spanish championship, the where you were actually traveling
around. It's not Spanish
Spain.
Championship. It was
the
10, 11, 12. 12 was this championship where everybody races from all over the world. Well, all over the world, whoever wants to pay.
Yeah.
It's exact same bike for everybody. And most of the races are in Valencia and is Bancaja. But then. Started racing in my own team at 70 and all go-kart tracks in Spain. Then, that was 1 year. Then I tried 80, which was Catalan Championship and Spanish and Mediterranean Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Then 125 PGP at 15 last year, 2009.
Yep.
At 15, same championship, Catalan and Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried 2 races on the Spanish championship.
Oh, okay. So that was
the Spanish championship is one level before the world championship.
Right.
This is that championship is the one that if you're really good, it gives you the opportunity to go the world championship.
And are you heading that way? Is that what
you're
doing?
Well, when I did the 2 races in Jerez, I've never been to Jerez, and the pre-GP has 35 horsepower stock but you have to detune it to 32 horsepower.
Oh, really?
And
in
the 125?
They test that? They actually dyno the bikes, like,
yeah.
As part of the test?
Yeah.
Wow,
and it's got telemetry, everything. It's really cool. And then when I tried the GP one, this bike in the Spanish Championship is the same bike almost as the one in the World Championship. It's got double horsepower, almost 58 horsepower. And the brakes were unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because they're the good brakes.
Do they use carbon on those yet? Or is it
the Aspar ones?
Bikes?
They're really good teams?
Yeah.
I think so. So, those 2 races, you know, Bradley Smith, he's got a team.
Yeah.
My dad manages him. And he's got a team, and he let me try these 2 races with, you know, McKenzie? Neil McKenzie's son?
Yes.
He used to race also with my dad.
Yep.
Well, he raced also. So, we're Mamola and McKenzie racing those 2 races. So, Jerez, I've never been there, and McKenzie is 16, I'm 15 now, and he raced all year long with the 125. I was racing with the pre. So, there was 58 kids, and 44 only qualify. And I qualified 30th, and he qualified 35th. Had a great start and passed like 16 people in two laps, mm-hmm. and finished 14th, and McKenzie finished 12th.
Nice.
Because in the first corner, I high-sided, and he got by.
You high-sided and stayed on?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he got by, and then, but obviously,
which
first race with this bike, Jerez.
Jerez. Oh, yeah.
First race, I was there. First race, I tried the bike and finished 2 points. So it was really, really cool.
That's great.
But that wasn't the first time I tried it. A week before, we went to El Maria to test the bike. And my eyes were like that big with the brakes.
That's a pretty fast track, isn't it?
El Maria, yeah, it's got some nice corners, some tight ones, but it's not like.
It's got a pretty decent straight with like a little kink in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But.
And next year, we're going with Bradley Smith's team, and we're going to do. See, the Spanish Championship only does 7 races.
Right.
So what we're going to do is 13 races. Do 9 races in the English Championship, British Championship, which is on TV.
Yeah.
And 4 in the Spanish Championship, which is also on TV. Yeah. And then
be traveling back,
because
back and forth.
We're not going for our championship. They just want me to ride with the bike, you know, get used to
get
the
used
bike.
To it, yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to get championship. This is in the future. So, yeah.
Wow. You're going to be bouncing around across the English Channel, but.
Yeah, mostly in England. But yeah. It's 2 hours in an airplane from my house, so it's not that hard.
Cool. So who do you train with?
So I train most of the year by myself. Sometimes with my dad. My dad comes running with me, or motocross. Sometimes I go alone. But every year, since last year, mm-hmm. and this year he's going to do it again, Bradley Smith. He comes to my house about a month, and he's really fit because he's the one that finished second last year in the World Championship in 135. And he comes for a month, and I train with him. And it's heavy training. We do like 3 or 4 times a week motocross.
Okay.
And road motocross, running, bicycle, push-ups, everything.
Really? Is he like a drill sergeant?
No, you are obviously. like Marquez, they're crazy on bicycles. They're so fit.
Yeah.
Because you gotta be fit for the world championship.
I mean, does he drive you? Is he like, hey, Dakota, come on.
Well, no.
Give me another 20.
No, he doesn't. He does it with me.
Yeah, okay.
Because he also has to train that. And what happens, he lives in England, and it's always cold, snowing, raining.
Right,
so
he
can't get out with his bicycle. In Spain, it's sunny, so that's where he comes. And yeah,
nice.
That's where I do most of my...
So you actually told me about the bikes you raced. And so you won your first race in first this year.
So when I did those 2 races in the Spanish Championship, there were 20-year-olds. It was from 15 to 20, 22, as many. So you see these pictures in the corner, and you see all these people behind, and they're like big monsters, so bigger. So those 2 races, and then I came back the next week, and I had to finish the Mediterranean Championship with the pre-GP again in Valencia. So Friday, Saturday, it was sunny. But when I came back on this bike, I went in first corner deep and broke, and it didn't have the same brakes as the 125.
Oh no, you got used to the other bike.
Yeah, and it was.
Oh shoot.
This bike, I used 4 hands, 4 fingers.
Yeah.
Brake, and it's the equivalent of braking with 1 finger and the other one.
Oh man.
So you can imagine how much the other one breaks. So when I, so Sunday, everything was good. I started quite back because I had some problems.
You started
17.
Yeah.
There was about 40 kids. And, so we did the warm-up lap. Mm-hmm. No, the out lap. We stopped. And when starting the warm-up lap, we started sprinkling in the front straight. And the back straight started pouring down with rain.
Oh, shoot.
But they still have the green flag out. So when we stopped, then they stopped the race. We changed red tires. And then we had to restart everything. Going on the out lap, 4 people already crashed.
Oh, my God.
Because Valencia is ice.
Yeah,
it's really no grip.
I guess I've never really seen that much rain over there. They don't. No, that's pretty unusual, isn't it?
Valencia at the end of the year gets really cold.
That's right, because this is December. Yeah.
Valencia gets really cold.
Yeah.
a lap for people, and then a warm-up lap, another person crashed. So when I started 17, first corner, I had a great start, was fifth already.
Oh, sweet.
And then it was 12 laps, but 12 laps in the rain feels like 20.
Yeah.
It never ends.
Yeah.
So I was seventh for a long time, then fifth, and second for about last five laps. Mm-hmm. Last lap, two more corners left, the first guy crashed.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, because it stopped raining, and then it started raining again, and then he just crashed up this hill. Then did the last corner did it really slow because I didn't want to crash, and obviously I won. I didn't know what to do because I've never won before.
So what did you do?
I just stood up and pushed my fist up in the air. And
Sweet.
So you should see my team on the wall. They were almost on the other side of the wall going, yes, yeah, they were so excited. My dad was there. Everybody, my mom, sister.
Oh, really? Everybody was there?
Everybody.
Oh, man, that must have been a great moment for you.
And then the first podium I ever had was last year, third in Barcelona, home Grand Prix, and everybody was there. My parents, my friends, so that was pretty good.
Awesome.
So then, yeah.
Speaking of like the whole French thing, like how do you mix, like I mean you're I hear you're a good student, you know a lot of languages,
yeah.
You've studied languages. How do you mix all that with the racing? Because you do a little, you know, you do travel around, and you lose your weekends.
Yeah, my school is really nice because my dad always talks to them, and they give me once a week off, so I can go train for once a week. Minimum.
Yeah, like to do homework while like.
Yeah, they gave me homework, but mostly I have to come back and recuperate everything.
Okay.
By riding and so like last year when I did the Spanish Championship when I went to Almeria and then Jerez, because Almeria, Jerez and Valencia. Valencia was terrible. I crashed and I didn't classify because I broke the bike. It was a really bad weekend.
Oh.
So I missed a week. So coming back for a week was.
Rough,
really rough. So next year in September, well, this year in September, when everything finishes in this grade, 10th mm-hmm. grade, I'm going to change schools to the Open. It's called the Open. It's okay. Where, you know, Arantxa Sánchez, Vicario, tennis players.
Yeah,
they own this school where tennis players go there, and it's a school where tennis players miss school.
You actually play tennis. You like tennis,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah. But I quit that because of my shoulder, and so now I started training. So I'm going to go there because there it's a school to be that it's normal that you leave, you know? In the school I'm at now, kids can say, oh, why isn't he here? And he's there because I'm training. And in this school, tennis players leave for a month because they go training, and then they give them special homework and they recuperate everything. In this school, I have to recuperate.
Right.
So this school is made. So school in the morning, you do that, and then tennis players play tennis in the afternoon, and I'm going to be training in the afternoon, like running, and they have a gym.
Yep.
So it's going to be a different school.
So they'll
help.
It'll be more in sync with
that school's made to for sports.
Athletes.
Yeah, basically. Athletes
Oh, that's pretty cool. And where is that? You said in Barcelona?
My school now is in Gavà, it's called.
You guys live in Barcelona, right?
Well, yeah, in Sitges, which is like 30 minutes from Barcelona.
Okay.
20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So this school's a little farther. It's in Barcelona. So what I think I'm going to do is my mom is going to drive me there, and then I'm going to come back in the bus or whatever. I think school starts at 7.
Oh, okay, so it's just
and then
it's just
it finishes at 1, 12.
Okay.
But then you train. See, my school now, I start at 9:30 and finishes at 5:30. I can't do nothing. Then I have 3 hours of homework,
and then
probably
go to bed. Recess, where you're like,
yeah.
What am I going to do recess?
Yeah, So...
Wow,
yeah.
That's a pretty tight schedule you run, though.
Yeah, so next year I'm going to ride with Bradley Smith's team.
Yeah.
Which is good.
You're excited?
Yeah, because...
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's really, really awesome. Good kid.
Yeah.
Really funny and good to have.
Well, he's so talented now, too. I mean, he's always been talented, but I think he was always riding a little bit of beyond the envelope. Now he kind of found the envelope, you know?
Exactly.
He was really close to in that championship. It was amazing to watch. So 2010 is basically like a preparation year for you.
The what?
2010 is a preparation year for you. You've got the English Championship thing and the Spanish. Then, so what's the plan? What's in the plate for 2011? Do you know yet? Depending on.
Well, I think
results?
I'm gonna have around 9-8 tests.
Okay.
Plus the races, which is gonna be. This year I only did 7 races and like 5 tests. Next year is gonna be a bigger bike, 13 races, more tests. So it's gonna be a lot. A different world.
Yeah.
So.
You looking forward to it?
Yeah.
Cool. How much does your dad get involved with the racing? Does he bug you about
it? In my race?
Yeah. Does he like? Is he there to, as a dad, or is he there like telling you like, hey, you went in there too far or whatever?
Both.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He obviously, I'm really lucky to have a dad that knows this stuff.
Yeah.
To tell me what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky because the other our parents don't know. And they don't know if they're doing that right or doing that wrong. So I prefer him to be there because it helps me a lot more.
Yeah. He's a really cool guy.
Yeah. But most of the time he won't be there because he's got, obviously, the MotoGP race. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the races he's here, I always listen to him. And I'm always calling him and so when he's not there. So.
Do you prep using, like, the video games and stuff? Do you ever like, use the... Like, to learn Jerez, for example, did you...
Sometimes. I use it at home. Like Jerez, I used it at home to play MotoGP because I didn't know the circuit.
Right.
So I really needed to know where it went.
It's got a tricky first section to that thing.
So I actually went fast there, so it was good. I love that track.
Cool.
Really fast and good.
What do you like about it?
The corners, there's a lot of fast corners.
The last section is really fun.
Yeah, it's fast. It's almost cool.
Yeah, because it's all just right. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
And you just keep going faster and faster, yeah. Of course, I only know it from video games. It's pretty pathetic. I don't have to worry about crashing. I just get right back up.
Can I just say thank you to my sponsors? Monster, for me and my dad, because they're helping me this year, and my dad, because my dad is going to try. They had a meeting in L.A., and... Mark Hall is one of the big bosses, and he had a meeting with Mark Hall, and I'm going to be sponsored, and I'm going to wear my helmet Monster and have, like, hats on, and he's going to, on the two-seater, takes people, he's going to try to put a logo on his leathers, leathers or bike, I'm not sure, I think leathers, and he's going to try to ask Alpine Star, you know, that have a hat just made for him to have a Monster logo on the hat.
Oh, cool.
Which is going to have a lot of, you know.
The two-up thing is a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's
especially from my dad, Randy Mamola, wearing Monster, you know?
Absolutely.
So it's going to make Monster grow.
Cool. All right.
Cool.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dakota. And also thank you, Sharon Mamola, Randy's sister, who brought Dakota over so we could hang out at work and chat and also hello Taylor, his sister was also there, so it was a lot of fun meeting hanging out with the kids. Okay,
news,
the winners,
you want to do?
Oh yeah, so sorry, yeah, okay. News.
There's not a ton, but there's a few things to talk about that were announced this week, and so might as well rip through that. On the GP front, Scott Redding has been announced as running in Moto 2 with the Mark VDS squad, which is going to be run by Michael Bartholomew of former Kawasaki fame. That's a really interesting squad because they're running like 4 different teams, you know, rally teams, I want to say Formula 3. A whole bunch of stuff. And also this one, it's Count Mark VDS, who's an actual person in Belgium, I believe.
Count VDS?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's a wicked name. I like it.
That's what I said. And it's spelled that way, too. I'm sure there's more behind it. I really haven't had a chance, but Michael Bartholomew to make sure that I get all the email that I can handle ever since he left Kawasaki and took their email list with him. And then there's even more news in the World Superbike front. What did you hear?
I haven't heard anything. You tell me.
All right.
Well, I heard about the David... Davide Tardozzi thing, because that's amazing.
It is. It is. Well, you knew he was going to land somewhere, right?
I thought he was retiring, to tell you the truth. I thought he was going to be gone. But he's now at?
He's now at BMW with riders that he's had in the past. Chaus and Corser, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, they've already got their rapport going. And but it's just I found that a little bit amazing.
It is amazing. And you know, it's really weird because you look at that and go, okay, a German team is reaching out to an Italian manager. But then again, you turn around and you look at a Japanese team, Honda GP, who has looked out to an Italian manager, right?
Right.
It's like, okay, you know, people are making some wholesale changes to try and get some results. So not all that surprising. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool.
Very cool. I'm glad he's back. I really something about his style. I dig the guy.
Cool. And you didn't want him to go out the way he went out.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not like he went out ashamed or anything, but it just seemed like a sudden departure. And you're like, man, you know, let's finish this story up. And you know that there was a lot of speculation. You know, is he in trouble because of Haga not winning? Well, I don't think that was the deal. I don't think he was disenchanted with racing. You know, that was the thing that was said before, right?
He said even.
Yeah, that he lost the spirit for racing. Well,
right.
Apparently, it's back.
Yeah,
a little Teutonic boost.
I don't know. Do you have a feeling that maybe BMW will really crank up the heat this year?
I have said publicly that I think they will get at least 3 podiums this year.
Awesome. I would love to see them. We've had so much domination by Suzuki for many years, and of course the Ducati Cup.
Yeah.
The Ducati Cup years. It'd be really cool to see a German motorcycle do well in...
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's been, 40 years since that's happened.
Yeah.
No NSU, MZ, or something like that. You know, I think we got a little glimpse of what was possible at Brno this year.
Right.
When Corser led both races for the first 2 laps, but the problem they've always had seems to me to be tire wear. And the tires are just gone, and they're toast, or Ruben falls off. although, you know, he had a pretty good season as far as staying on the bike, except for Brno. I think if they can figure that out, and that's probably mostly an electronics issue, then I think there's some hope.
Cool.
Yeah. So, 2 more items, and both in the World Supersport realm. I take it back. 1 World Superbike, 1 World Supersport. On the World Superbike front, Roger Lee, or I guess Roger Hayden now, Nikki's littlest brother, signed for Pedercini Kawasaki, or Team Pedercini, in World Superbike, which kind of surprised everybody.
Well, has Roger ever been on any other bike besides a Kawi?
He has. He was on a Honda way back when. Okay. I couldn't tell you when the year was, but... You do kind of associate him with Team Green. So, understandable. Well, Team Pedercini, though, all last year didn't have a green bike. So
that's right.
We'll have to see. I'm not sure exactly who he's going to be paired with or if it's going to be a single rider team. But the kind of the bonus thought or bonus idea is that with Kawasaki's full withdrawal from MotoGP, and they've promised and pledged to spend more time and attention on World Superbike, that maybe the ZX10 will have a little something extra, and hopefully maybe some of that will trickle down to the Pedercini squad. We'll have to see. I hope. You don't want to go over there and just do laps, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think there's also a little bit of a... exodus from, you know, that series.
Well, there's no doubt. And in fact, that leads us into our next one. Although I think for this particular one, I don't think anybody's surprised about it, which is Chaz Davies. Earlier this week was confirmed on, the Triumph Factory World Supersport Squad with the King of Slide, Gary McCoy.
Awesome.
Yeah, very cool. And I'm very happy for Chaz. And yeah, that'll be cool. He had some great results the last three races of last season and seemed to gel immediately with the bike. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Triumph also had an X. You know, we were kind of looking like three guys for next year in mm-hmm. Supersport. But, you know, with Eugene probably being the favorite. But with Chaz there full time, this could get really interesting.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, not like we can ever ask for or hope for any more battles at the top of the World Super Sport grids, but man, it should be, it'll be great here. No doubt. No doubt.
Excellent.
So
excellent.
I'm pumped.
Yeah. That should be a great pairing.
It really should be. And they get along great too. So, no doubt.
The only thing that's for sure though, is they're not going to be able to swap bikes.
No.
Like the little one of the littlest guys and one of the tallest guys.
Yeah, well, Chaz is definitely, I believe, lanky is the term that would apply right. to him. Although, you know, he's been getting in a lot better shape over the last couple of years. A couple of years ago, he was like
a stick. You know, he was a stick.
Well, no, he was like Jim Race skinny, frankly.
McLean.
Yeah, he was.
Because I remember when he was on when he rode for
Dantine.
For Dantine, he was wearing Hoffman's leathers.
Yeah, well, they were flopping on him.
And they were totally flopping on him. Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good thing he didn't have Cardosos.
Evil.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Hey, the contest.
Okay. The contest. All right. Well, we had first of all, let's go over what the contest was again. So we basically asked for questions. The questions were, what year did motorcycle Grand Prix FIM sanctioned racing first take place? The correct answer was 1949. What is the one track that has been on the calendar since motorcycle Grand Prix started? And that is Assen. Although one of the people who sent in an answer pointed out that it was in a different location, and it wasn't until 1955 that it was at the current location. So,
you know, you could argue that like all the way down the pike, though, because the Assen that we had in 55 is not the Assen that we have today.
Yes, but the location. Yeah, I know. I understand. But there's some buildings that actually are the same.
Yeah.
But anyway, but the Assen round. It's been called the Assen TT. It's been the Assen round all the way since 1949. Still going on. And if you had those two right, then the rest was turned out to be sadly pretty easy, thanks to MotoGP.com stats and Wikipedia and everything else. But anyway, who was the first 500cc class winner at Assen in 1949? That was Nello Pagani. And the final question was, what position did he finish the championship that year? And he finished second, and just barely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that much about the championship, but based on the results, it was a pretty close one. Okay.
And we got a bunch of answers.
So, yeah, so we got nine people who got the answers correctly, so I'll just read them off. So Lynn Padilla of fans.moto.gp. But he wrote in that if he gets picked out of the hat, I have a little hat here with the names written on it, that he wants to know, he's giving the prize away to somebody else. So thank you very much, Len. That's very kind of you. Doug Loxton, Ian Taylor, Ed Hazer, Alex Panganigan maybe?
Plus.
Travis Hinson, Martin Darlington, duh. I'd be surprised if Martin didn't get in there. Tom Van Arkel and Matthew Bonanno. All right, so we only have three calendars, so there's nine names here, and I got them in a little container here. It's not a hat, but we're pretending it's a hat. All right, the first name is Alex Panganinan.
Ta-da!
All right. Congratulations, Alex. All right. We've got another name coming.
So, and to those of you that win, we'll send you an email and ask for your address, and please send it back so that we can ship it out to you.
Yep, yep. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world, we'll ship it. Second name, Ian Taylor. All right, Ian.
All right.
Congratulations.
Wonder if that's the same Ian Taylor that I'm thinking of. Probably. Good job.
Okay.
All right, and number three, the
And the last one is Tam Van Arkel.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! All right. All right, guys. So Alex, Ian, and Tom, we'll send you guys emails. So congratulations.
Right on, everybody. And it's a very cool calendar.
Yeah, it's a great, great calendar.
If you don't, have it already, if you have it already, let us know and we can, you know, we'll send it to you or send it to a friend. But you can never have too many. You know, you're going to be in two places, you know, during the day, right? So you've got one there. I got one on the wall right here next to me. But very cool. And very many thanks to David Emmett and Scott Jones for handing those off to us.
Yeah. Yeah. That was very cool.
And, okay. And they've actually, David's been putting up a bunch of retrospect shots over like the last week of the various GPs this year that Scott took.
Oh yeah. It was five events.
Yeah.
Split into like three or four parts each. So yeah. It was some amazing stuff in there.
A whole bunch of Christmas eye candy.
Yeah, yep. Definitely good stuff.
Very cool.
All right, it was kind of, stiff because we were out of practice, but we'll be back next week.
We'll get used to it again. We do have World Superbike World Supersport testing. We'll start at the end of this month, January 22nd through 24th at Portimao. I might as well mention now, it's only €8 to get in and get in the paddock. So if you're anywhere in the neighborhood, it's about the cheapest ticket you can get in. It's awesome. Straight up public. Just go. There's no, as they said in their email, there's like no excuses. And I absolutely agree, except for I happen to be in California. All right, folks. Thanks for sticking with us. Welcome to 2010. It should be a great year and a great season. And Jules, I will talk to you in a while.
Yeah, yeah. So thanks again to Dakota Momola for giving me a couple hours during his visit to America. And to everybody else that's been writing in, again, thanks. And we'll see you next week.
Absolutely.
Ciao.
Ciao.
MotoGP is a trademark of Dorna Sports SL. The MotoGP OD podcast and MotoGPOD.com are not affiliated with Dorna Sports SL. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners. MotoGP OD isn't affiliated with any of them. The MotoGP OD podcast was created by Bob Hayes. It is co-hosted by Jules Cisek and Jim Race. The website was built by Simon Roberts. Music by Jules Cisek. And the podcast is usually produced by Jules or a bunch of sewer rats.